2 days ago, he made me and Emerson Hancock had to sing the Canadian national anthem. So that wasn't very fun. I don't even think I've ever heard it before. I get called up and they're telling me to sing the national anthem. I'm like, they just give me the words. I don't know the beat or nothing.
Fly ball onto the track. At the wall. It's gone. Home run.
Turns on a ball. Deep right field. Oh, God.
What a game. What a moment.
All right, I am pumped to welcome on the show an absolute stud of a pitcher, one of many out there with the Seattle Mariners, to be honest, Bryce Miller. Bryce, thanks so much for hopping on, man.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I want to start with, when I think of you as a pitcher, my mind immediately goes to your debut, May 2nd, 2023. You took a perfect game into the sixth inning. It's tough to imagine a start to a debut going much better than it did, but walk me through that day, like where you were at mentally, how you felt out on the mound, like what that day was all like.
Yeah, no, it was a super cool day. It went way better than I could have ever expected. So the only knock I have on it is that Mason Miller was also, he was throwing a no hitter into the seventh, so I didn't get a win. But no, yeah, it was super fun. It was, you know, all I ever dreamed about. So it was cool.
Were you nervous at any point? Were you nervous the whole time? Like, you wake up that morning, what's going through your head?
Yeah, no, I was nervous at the beginning of the day. But the day before, I went to the Coliseum and I threw at the field. I actually got to Oakland a couple days before the team did because they were in Toronto. And so I met them there. But I got to go and kind of calm the nerves a little bit. Got to see the stadium, throw in the outfield. And I think that really helped me out. And then
yeah.
Once I got there and, you know, got the first inning out of the way, it was kind of, I just started cruising. It was kind of just back to baseball.
So you knew a few days in advance you were going up and going to make your debut there. I always love asking guys this because it's the call that you dream of as a kid. And even, you know, I played in the minor leagues and you're always a phone call away, but it's a tough call to get. Walk me through your call up to the big league story and how you found out and how it happened.
Yeah, so, you know, last year, unfortunately, Seattle, you know, Robbie got hurt in the first game.
Yeah.
And whenever I got sent down from spring training, the convo was kind of like, you know, we're going to see you at some point this year. We just don't know when. It could be the first week or it could be the last week of the season. So, like, just be ready. And so whenever Robbie went down, I kind of started thinking, you know, the mind started running. But then a few weeks later, they ended up, you know, making the move, and I was in Arkansas, I was in Double A, and after I think we won that day, but it was kind of a mixed emotion clubhouse because we won, but it was our strength coach's last day, so they started the post game speech with like a sad, you know, farewell speech, and then it turned, and he's like, "Well, I know everybody's sad right now, but we got some good news. We got somebody's about to make their debut coming up." And then like everybody starts getting nervous, like, who is it? And then they ended up, you know, saying it was me and I was going to throw in Oakland. And next thing you know, I was covered in beer in my beer shower. So it was a lot of fun. But it worked out really good because I had a couple days to, you know, tell family and friends and have them, you know, plan the trip and get out there. So it was really good.
Who was the first phone call?
I called my parents first, and they were, I think, my mom was about to go to sleep. My dad was on the recliner just watching TV. And they were fired up.
That's awesome, man. When you look back on that first year from your debut to the end of your first rookie season, do you have a favorite memory from last year?
Honestly, like the debut was really cool, but my second start in Seattle, I threw against Houston. And, you know, growing up South Texas, I was always a Houston fan. So I went six innings against Houston and threw to Bregman, to Yordan. Altuve wasn't in the lineup. He was hurt at the beginning of the year. But, you know, just going my first start in Seattle, like in front of 40,000 people and pitching well against Houston, it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. And it was something that, like, was surreal, you know, in the moment, you know, pitching against guys that I've been watching for years. Yeah.
Yeah, that's your big Texas guy. Big, by the way, how are you feeling about your Aggies? They're absolutely killing it this year. I think they're like 28
They
and
are.
four. How are you feeling about that team?
They look really good. I'm excited for them. They're pitching it and they can swing it, so that's a pretty good combo.
How'd you, being from Texas and growing up in a baseball area, how did you, do you remember when you first like fell in love with the game or when you first started playing baseball? Like how did Bryce Miller get to where he is now? How'd you fall in love with the game?
I've been playing since I was, 3 years old, doing T-ball and stuff. And my grandpa always tells a story about whenever I was like 2 or 3 years old, in the backyard. He was throwing a ball to me with like a plastic bat, and I was hitting it, and he was all fired up. He's like, this kid's gonna play baseball. He's gonna be good. And my hitting career didn't last too long, but New Braunfels, where I'm from, is a baseball town, and we have, plenty of resources. And it just, my parents were there for me. They took me all over for summer ball and stuff. So it's been a long road, but I've had a lot of fun with it, and been all over the country now, playing baseball. So it's been a lot of fun and taking me places that, I wouldn't be without it. So
Who'd you grow up rooting for?
I grew up, so Lance Berkman, he's also from New Braunfels. He went to the
Yeah.
other school other high school in New Braunfels. And so, growing up, I was watching him. My dad was a basketball coach at the other high school, where Berkman went, and so I was, that kind of drew me more towards Houston. But
Yeah.
so, I was a fan of both teams, but mainly Houston.
What? So eventually, obviously, grow up and get to the point where you get drafted. Do you remember what was your draft day story like? Was it all around family? Like, what do you remember most about that day?
It was I kind of went through the draft stuff. I got drafted my freshman year out of junior college, like the 38th round. And then the COVID year, kind of thought I would get drafted then, and it didn't work out. So it was really my third round doing the draft stuff. And so I was kind of, I'd done it before, kind of knew what to expect or what not to expect.
Were
And
you out of high school as well? Did you get drafted out of high school as well or no?
no, not high school. It was
Okay.
just
Just
my
the
first
first
one
year
in
of,
junior college.
okay.
But no, it was, we were at the house, and we had a after draft party planned in my hometown. But it was, I didn't know where I was gonna go, so we didn't want to invite too many people over to the house and have
Yeah.
everybody wait. But no, it's an interesting thing, just because it's like, you get a phone call and you might be going East Coast, West Coast, you
Yeah.
could be on the road in Houston or wherever, and you have no idea. I just got the call from Seattle, and I was like, well, don't know much about Seattle. Never really watched them, but let's go. And it's worked out really well for me. I'm really happy I ended up with Seattle.
I mean, you gotta be, you're as a pitcher, I feel like there's no better way to work on your craft than being surrounded by other guys that are at the top of their game. And the Mariners rotation is one of, if not the best rotation in all of baseball with George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo, yourself, and honestly, so many young arms coming up as well. How do you feel like they have best improved your game? Have they? Is being around them beneficial to you?
I think I've taken my biggest strides on the mound since I got to pro ball, and I think it was a change of mentality for me that really helped out a lot. Whenever I got drafted, I didn't really know anything about analytics, and I knew that I had good ride on the fastball, and I knew I spun the ball well, but
Yeah.
didn't really ever dig into it. And once I got to Seattle, they have all the pitch grading software and everything, and it really like opened it up for me. And my first full season, they're telling me I have three pitches that are above major league quality, and like all I got to do is throw them over the plate, and like good things are going to happen. And I'm like, you say it that way, it makes the game seem like it's easier. And so
Absolutely.
that's kind of where I think I took a big step. And just really emphasizing like attacking and getting ahead and being in good counts and being able to use those pitches in good counts. Like it's been really beneficial for me. And, you know, the last 2 years, my command's been better than it's ever been. I've walked less people and been striking out people. So it's been really good. Just, you know, the change of mentality and getting ahead and attacking has helped me out a lot.
You also added a nasty splitty to your repertoire now, and it's gone really well this year, only giving up 3 hits off of it, struck out 9 guys with it this year. So how'd that pitch come about? Has it been a long time in the making and you finally feel comfortable using it? Was it an off season thing? 'Cause it looks like you've had it your whole life basically.
Yeah, no, it's brand new pitch for me. It's something that I've never thrown. I've always kind of had a changeup that I've worked on, and it's just been average to below average, like just kind of hard for me. I've felt like I'm way over here, and it's hard for me to get inside the ball and get depth on it. And so like looking, you know, after the season last year and reflecting on how the season went, like I knew that what I needed to do was I need to, you know, figure out how to get lefties out better. I had like a 100-point difference in batting average against splits, you know, right and left. And, you know, last year I added the sinker once I got to the big leagues, like midway through. And I think that really helped me with righties, and righties hit like 200 on me last year and lefties hit 300. And it was like, you know, I had a pretty successful rookie season, but there's a lot of room to improve. And, you know, it also helped being around Kirby and Logan, who had just added a splitter last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, they added it in a year. That's what I want to do this off season. And hopefully, you know, be able to attack lefties better. So, you know, going into the off season, that was my goal. And it took probably a month or two to figure out, you know, a grip that I was comfortable with, and figure out how to make it not sweep sometimes, because my throwing partner would get pissed at me. But it took a couple months, but it's come a long ways. I'm excited for the season, you know, throwing it all.
It really is. It's remarkable how I was talking to, I had Cole Reagans on a couple weeks ago, and he was just talking about the biggest help and change for him, and it was learning a new slider, because basically he was getting hit by lefties and he never had anything that would go the other way. You know, he'd have his fastball, he'd have a curveball, and he had a changeup. He didn't have anything going away from lefties. And that's the same sort of thing as a righty. I mean, you have your slider. So to lefties, everything's going in on them. So to finally have something that's darting down and maybe tailing a little bit as well, I really do feel like it opens up like a brand new world of possibilities. And it almost allows you to pitch in so many different ways and do different things on the mound. It's gotta be fun adding a new pitch.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, it took a little bit of, I guess, discipline in spring training to not just come out and throw all splitters just because I'm excited and it's working. But the team had me on a splitter limit. So, but I think I'm kind of, they're letting the leash out a little bit on it. I threw 20 the other day in the game. So, it was, which, and you know, the first 2 games of the season, I've thrown to a lot of lefties, which is what I was expecting coming into this year. Other teams just loading lefties in, you know, based off of last year's performance.
Yeah.
I think 2 days ago in Milwaukee, lefties were 0-for-13 against me, and the 3 hits I gave up were righties. So it's, so far it's going really well.
That's awesome, man. That's got to feel really good. I was going to say, before you said you threw 20, you don't need to give anything away because the opposing hitters will start counting how many you've thrown. But is there still a splitter limit, or is that completely gone?
No, I think it's gone. I think you know, I've added it over 4 months now, and I think my arm's in a good spot, and I feel really good with where I'm at. So it's not really a concern. I mean, I don't think I'm going to go throw 50 of them, but it's. We're getting,
you never know. They throw 9 lefties out there at you. You might end up throwing 50 or so. I do want to, you mentioned your arm and how it feels, and you're in an unbelievable rotation. It does bring up an interesting conversation that's happened quite often over the last week or so, which is the whole Tommy John conversation and why so many pitchers are getting it. I mean, I could start naming off names, but it the list doesn't really end at this point. But even in the most recent, you got Strider getting hurt. You got Shane Bieber, obviously DeGrom. I mean, the best pitchers in the world, a lot of them are on the shelf right now needing Tommy John. And the question that I think has come up more and more is, well, what is causing this? Because I have John Smoltz on the show every single week, and we often talk about how the game has just changed a lot. And he was like, back when I was pitching, Tommy John wasn't near as common as it is now. So you have people saying, well, the new rules are a factor, and the lack of sticky stuff is a factor, and how, you know, guys trying to throw too hard is a factor. What do you think it is? What does Bryce Miller think is the reason for the more and more and more Tommy Johns as the game of baseball has evolved over the last decade or so?
I mean, I think it's, you know, the recent thing, it's been easy to just blame the pitch clock. But I think it's multiple things. It's the way people are throwing now. It's what, you know, is emphasized. I watched the 4 minute take from Justin the other day about what he had to say. And it's, you know, it's the way people are brought up, and it's the way, like, to get into pro ball and even to get into D1 these days is to throw hard and to make your pitches move and push for action. And I think I was actually having this convo with my agent earlier. The lack of, like, desire to get real deep into games. You know, you're pushing for action and velo. And then on top of it, I think that the pitch clock might be a little bit of an additive as well. Yeah. You have less time to recover between pitches. And I don't think that, if you take the pitch clock away today, we're not going to have less Tommy John. I think it's, you know,
but it might play a little role in it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a culmination of everything. Yeah. And I don't know. I agree with what Justin was saying. Like, if there was more emphasis on getting deeper into games, then everybody's going to have to adjust, and you can't try to throw 100 every pitch. So I don't know. It's interesting. And I think it's going to take years. You know, it's taken years to get to here, and it's going to take years to get away from it. But
yeah,
it definitely sucks. You know, for fans and for players as well, like, nobody wants to see anybody get injured, and especially, you know, the guys at the top of the game. Like, you want to see those guys go out and compete.
I think everyone now recognizes the problem. At least it's a talking point. But I don't know if anybody that's talking about it knows the answer, because a lot of, you know, like, when I played for 5 years in the minor leagues, and I would hear the organization say all the time, and pitchers would say, like, unless I'm throwing 95, you're basically written off. And, you know, that's how pitchers get paid as well. Like, you know, throw the shit out of the ball, throw as hard as you can, spend the crap out of it. And the more you do that, the better your chances are of getting millions and millions and millions of dollars. So there's that aspect. And so then the question becomes, well, how do you get rid of that mindset? Because, you know, Justin came up throwing 92, 93 early in the game. And when he needed it, he'd reach back in his pocket. And sometimes that wasn't until the seventh or eighth inning. And by that point, you know, then you're letting all the gas go out of the tank. But it just feels like that starts very early on in games now. And that's how guys are getting paid the money they are as well. So it just feels like, yeah, we know the problem, but what the hell is the answer to this problem? And nobody really knows that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's hard. Like, if you're a minor league guy right now, a minor league starter, like, what are you going to do? Just start, you know, throwing at 95% or 90%,
right?
Just to, like, you can't do that. You'll get passed up. And
yep.
So it's, you know, it's a tough spot to be in. And I, like you said, I don't know the answer. I don't know if anybody does.
No, I don't either. But I do know, as of right now, you are slated to pitch we might be a little far out now, but there's a chance you're going to pitch against the Orioles here in about a month or so. And you're going to face Jordan Westberg, who is one of your best friends, childhood friends. What do you got against him? First at bat, you versus him in the big leagues. What's happening?
So I actually, he came to Seattle last year, and I threw against him last year. He got called up. We were in Baltimore a few weeks before.
Yeah.
And I was texting him, and I was like, hey, he had like 30 pumps in AAA. I'm like, tell him to get you up. Like, I'm here. Come on. And we left, we flew out of Baltimore and we landed in Seattle. And I looked at Twitter and I saw he just got called up. So he got called up the day after I left. But he ended up coming to Seattle the next few weeks. And first pitch, I threw him, I think it was 95 right down the middle. He popped it up. I was like, hey, I'll take it. And then I think, let's see, I threw to him twice. The second at bat, I got him on a stinker ground ball up the middle, I think. But yeah, no, I look forward to it. It's always fun. I got him and James MacArthur with the Royals. He was also on high school team, so it's really cool, you know, seeing guys from the same town, and Jordan being on living on the same street as me growing up. It's super cool, and it's a lot of fun seeing us have success and compete against each other.
Now, so we're just waiting for your first punch out against Jordan is what we need now.
Yeah, I'll take that.
That he's seen you his whole life, but he hadn't seen that splitty yet.
Oh, it's brand new. I posted a few videos of it this off season, and he would slide up on him and be like, man, this ain't fair.
So I had a Cal Raleigh's been on the show before. Great dude. And from everything I've heard, great teammate, hysterical guy as well. Just looks like a really fun teammate to be around. So I need your best or favorite Cal Raleigh story.
I don't know. So like recently Cal's been on the bus, like on road trips. He's been on mic. 2 days ago, he made me and Emerson Hancock had to sing the Canadian national anthem. So that wasn't very fun. I don't even think I've ever heard it before. And I get called up and they're telling me to sing the national anthem. I'm like, they just give me the words. I don't know the beat or nothing, man. So he was on the mic booing me. But no, yeah, he's a great teammate, great catcher. I love pitching to him. And he's, you know, he does, he gets all the work in, and he's usually the first one at the field, especially in spring training. He's getting there at 4 a.m. And you know, he works his butt off and he's always prepared. So it's a guy that, you know, I love throwing to.
Does this video of the Canadian national anthem exist anywhere publicly currently?
I hope not.
I gotta find it. That needs to happen. All right, next teammate I gotta ask about is Julio. Just an absolute stud, superstar. I feel like he's got MVPs plural in his future at some point. I need the craziest or most impressive thing that you have ever seen Julio Rodriguez do on a baseball field.
Last year in Baltimore, he made that catch in center field. He robbed, I don't remember who hit it, but he robbed somebody going full speed. He just, you know, last year, whenever I got up, I was just thinking like he was 22 years old or 21 last year. And like comparing that guy to, you know, the guys in college, like saying like this guy could be in college right now. What would this look like in
Good
college? Like
point.
just the talent that he has is at that age is just unbelievable. And he's just a great dude. You know, I've never until, you know, the last couple of years been around, you know, superstars like that. And just seeing like how humble he is and like open to talking and getting, you know, getting close to the other guys is super cool. And it's he's got a lot of success in his future.
Bryce, what are your personal goals for this year? Like I know team wise, I think the goal is always win the division, do some damage in the playoffs. But when you are working your way through the off season and trying to prepare for this season, what are some personal goals that you set for yourself?
Going into the year, I wanted to, like I said, attack lefties better. And I wanted to, you know, get through a full season of 32 starts and a full big league season. And that's a goal that everybody has. And especially with the recent injuries, like it's something that, you know, everybody wants to do. And sometimes it's out of your control, but just, you know, going through a full season and knowing that like I have my routine down, and that I didn't skip out on anything, and just controlling what I could control was one of the main things. Numbers wise, I wanted to. Last year it was 300 batting average for lefties and 200 for righties. So I was like, if I can get if I keep the righties at 200 and get the lefties below 250, like it's should be a really successful season. And so far, you know, it's going really well. So
that 0 for 13 the other night, that helps.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, and then just continuing to attack and like not walk anybody and getting ahead throughout the whole year. And yeah, it's I think 2 years ago I threw 130 innings was my career high. Last year I was like 155. So getting over 180 would be really, really cool.
Yeah. Bryce, I appreciate you for joining me, man. This has been a lot of fun. It's always been a lot of fun watching you pitch, but always appreciate you hopping on, and now appreciate you as a person as well. So thanks for hopping on, man. I really appreciate it. Good luck learning the Canadian national anthem a little bit better, and good luck this season as well.
I appreciate it.
All right. Well, I just wanted to thank again Bryce Miller for joining me, and thank you all for listening as always. Really cool hearing him talk about the Tommy John situation happening in Major League Baseball right now. It truly is. It's a situation. Nobody really has the answer, but it just seems like a tough thing right now. You can't really tell a pitcher to tone it back right now when they're getting paid to tone it up and spin rate and throw it as hard as you can. But the question becomes, what do you do and how do you curtail all of these Tommy John surgeries coming up? So really cool to talk about him, to talk to him about all of that. And I just really enjoyed that conversation. The whole conversation, really, what a stud, an absolute stud out there. The Mariners rotation is the real deal. That is why I have them being a pretty surprise team this year and being able to do some damage in the playoffs if they can get there because of how good their rotation is. And Bryce Miller is a very, very big part of that. So I hope you all enjoyed listening to him talk. I know I did. Make sure you subscribe or follow. It does really help when you guys do subscribe, follow wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever. You can also watch everything we do as well on Spotify or on YouTube at Flippin' Bats Pod there. And follow us on TikTok. We're getting close to 100,000 followers there, and that is our goal. And you can help us reach that goal. So thank you all. Thank you, Bryce Miller, as well. And remember, until next time, my friends, find your bat and flip it. Peace.